Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On today's episode of TechPoints Africa podcast, Keeper scraps severance pay for laid-off staff due to internal fraud. Former Flutterwave CEO Inyaboyeji plans to build YC for Africa. Access Bank forays into digital lending with Oxygen X. Another news we'll be considering today on the TechPoints Africa podcast. I am Oluwani Femi Kolawole, and with me in the studio is
Bolu
and Chimbozu.
Before we go into the stories for today, we are sending our condolences to everyone that was affected by the explosion that happened in Ibadan earlier this week. We pray that you are all comforted, people that have lost businesses. We hope they get back on their feet very soon. From that, we go to another loss experienced by a Nigerian fintech startup, Keeper. There are reports that the company lost 30 million naira to internal fraud, and it has affected their capacity to pay severance for the people that were laid off recently. So, Bolu, can you give us the gist to that story in 15 seconds?
No, I will not give you in 15 seconds. Okay. I will try and make it as quick as possible. So, basically, there was an internal fraud, what is being called an internal fraud at Keeper, and it happened several months ago, but they only found out in November, which was a month after staff were laid off. So the interesting thing is how it actually happened. So it turns out that after they announced the shutdown of Keeper Pay, right, which is like an arm of the business or one of the services they render, there were massive withdrawals, right? And then sources that spoke to Tech About said it was an internal job, right? Mm-hmm. So there were merchants without POS
withdrawing
large sums of money, right? And yes, that's basically, you know, the fraud part of it. So this now affected the company's ability to now pay severance after it has, you know, already promised them that
they
severance
get 1 month severance.
Yeah.
Of their 1 month of their salary as
exactly.
Severance.
So I mean, it just goes to show how serious the issue of fraud, right? Especially with fintechs, with banks too, right? But I think with fintechs, they cannot afford they cannot afford the amount of breaches they are getting.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and they don't even disclose a forfeit.
Exactly. So I mean, for banks, last year, in 2022, I think they said total fraud, the total amount banks lost to fraud was around 14 billion naira, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that happens to banks, right, which for me, I believe, have more robust mm-hmm. cyber security systems.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
some people disagree. Sure,
I know some people disagree with me, right? But I mean, judging by that amount, I mean, if you look at the US, for example, right? Well, granted, it's a big, way, way bigger economy, right? But for them, they lost their own banks lost maybe like times 50 of that to fraud,
mm-hmm.
right? So if that happens to a Nigerian bank, right, and it affects them to a certain extent, imagine what it would be like if it happens to a small fintech keeper.
Yeah. Right.
And then we've been seeing this thing happen.
Recurring, like the fraud in fintech is a recurring conversation that keeps coming up. And I'm actually happy that people that are in that space are talking about it. Like we published a recent article. It was published on TechPoint. The founder of Get Equity actually did an call it an expose on fraud and fintech and the underlying reasons why they are thriving, why fraudulent practices are thriving in the fintech space. I think we should check that out. We'll drop the link in the description. So the issue of fraud, it's worse if it's internal, it's internally powered. If I put it like that.
What's it that way, whether it's internal or external, but as much as you're a fintech, what this shows is that you're equally as susceptible to outside influence when it comes to fraud as you are to internal. And in my opinion, the more dangerous armed robber is the person who knows your house and how to get around.
The key to come inside without being
stopped. Something, I don't know what policies Keeper, for example, had. There are things you just can't protect. You can't be too careful.
Yeah.
But I don't know what kind of policies, but banks, for example, like what Bulu was saying, yes, banks also experience fraud. You may say they have more robust cybersecurity policies, but it may not be simply down to that. The truth is, if you're a smart person and you want to steal, you are not going to wake up one day, you know that your company does $100 million in revenue and you plan to steal $50 million at once. You probably want to do it slowly. Because the longer you're in the system,
wait for a loophole too.
Yeah, the longer you're in the system. No, the thing is sometimes, and what we've seen in some cases is, like there's a back door in your own system, which is one of the reasons why it can be difficult. So this might be one of those cases where there's a back door in your system, which means it's someone who was involved.
The developer and probably those people that worked on the tech.
So it's very something that you would see a lot. Banks, for example. Their own case, it could be a mistake. Some of the things you see that are reported as fraud could also be just mistakes.
Errors.
So errors. They try to ensure that employees are alert and they don't make all those unforced errors. But it's a story that just shows how difficult it can be
to run any kind of business. You get
fintechs in particular because it's huge.
Yes, it is. It is. We are hoping they quickly address this and find a way around getting back what has been lost. If not everything they should probably have a system in place now that is trying to recoup some of the funds if they can trace the person that was involved internally and all. I was looking through the status of a developer for a fintech platform, and it was just share on the back of this story was sharing different stories of developers getting into trouble for issues like this because these backdoors, these are like weaknesses in their structure that they know, which they actually look out for that people within the system exploit. I'm hoping that they find a way around it and, of course, pay the severance that has been promised to the laid off staff. This is not an excuse. Yes, I mentioned the other time that Inyaboyeji sprung something on the Nigerian tech ecosystem last night or yesterday evening that he and his co-founder planned to build YC for Africa. But there's a twist in the modality. And Chungwazwin will give us the gist.
Okay. So for Ian's next trick, he wants to build the YC for Africa. It's a lofty goal because knowing what we know about YC, knowing the impact it has had on the global startup ecosystem, those are huge boots to feel, but maybe just run through what that looks like. So 10 startups will be selected across Africa.
What's the name of the
Accelerate Africa? 10 startups will be selected, sector agnostic, and 5 would be working, or it's not going to be a remote program. 5 would be working or learning out of Nairobi, and the other 5 in Lagos. They would all meet up towards the end in Lagos.
It's a year long.
It's 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
Yes, it's 8 weeks. But curiously, it is not going to be. So YC gives you money, and this is probably where we would get started talking about all the plans.
Okay.
YC gives you money. When they started out, YC gave out $20,000 for 7% of your startup. And they did that for a very long time. I think in 2022, they revised their terms and began offering $500,000 to startups. I think so you get the previous deal. I think they at some point they even increased it to, I think, 150,000 or so. But they increased it finally to like 500 in 2022. And you get a certain amount upfront, I think 150,000, and then the remaining 350,000 you get it after the program, like after demo day and all of that. So this time around, Accelerator Africa is saying we are not giving you, there's no guarantee that you get funded, which is curious if you want to build a YC for Africa, because one of the biggest things for YC is you get funded,
mm-hmm.
you get access to a very
vast
network of founders, investors,
mentors.
Regulators, mentors, people who have been there, done that. And without that funding component, or without an assured funding component, it's now worrying. How do you intend? Are you just going to do advisory intros to investors, maybe intros to corporates for partnerships and stuff like that? So that's the first part that I'm interested in. Secondly, they are doing this with backing from USAID, and they have a $750,000 grant,
okay.
but they're still not investing.
Okay.
So I saw a question online, Justin Norman asked a very important question. How does that affect the kind of startups or the kind of investment they make?
Mm-hmm.
And just to do a little explanation, so your LPs sort of determine who you invest in. If you have LPs that are impact focused, which USAID is not they are not your typical LPs. They are not a hedge fund. They are not a pension fund or
grants.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they are likely to be impact focused, which means you're probably not going to be pursuing fintechs.
Yes, it's right? probably...
You're probably looking at...
Climate.
Climate. You're probably looking at, let's see... you could
people
do...
People do humanitarian... Do,
yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, basically anything that has direct impact,
yeah.
it would influence the kind of startups that you pick. The third question would be, if you are going to build another accelerator, we have a lot of accelerators, right?
Yeah.
And it's so he's still with Future Africa. Future Africa still exists, and Future Africa has done deals from like pre-seed up to I think Series A.
Mm-hmm.
So why build an accelerator?
Africa.
Also, he's saying the accelerator is not a pipeline
into
Future Africa, that they may invest, but there's no guarantee that Future Africa would do that. So why build an accelerator when you already have a VC firm which has undergone a lot of iterations in the last 2 to 3 years?
Mm.
Okay, maybe not a lot, but they've undergone some iterations in the last, I think this towards the end of last year, they began to rework some of their approach to investing.
Mm.
So those are some of the questions that we need to ask. Also, saying that you want to build the YC for Africa, I find some of the statements in his interview with Tech about a bit interesting. So for one, you're saying that you're investing in people who would not have otherwise gotten into YC.
Not a bad thing, but I'm sorry to interrupt you there. You know, while it might make the case that YC has reduced the number of checks it cuts, it gives to...
No, reduce Africa. The number of African startups. In short, it's not just Africa, to be fair.
Yes, like
it's
generally.
Everybody.
So yes. People are literally looking for money.
Yes. And that's another thing. Founders typically don't, not just founders, like, right? Even some people who run accelerators, they tout it as their advantage over the others, that they give you funding. They don't. It's not just we are telling you learn and then we push you out.
Yes,
they put it as an advantage.
Even
because
give
funding. There are a lot of accelerators that do that.
Like, when you want to do work for somebody and they said I'll pay you
with exposure. Yeah. So in this case, they're now telling you we will pay you with access, basically, because yes, we can't deny that
it is important.
Ian has access. Mm-hmm. His co-founder too has. She used to be a vice president at MasterCard. So that's like they have they have a network they can introduce you to, right? Mm-hmm. But founders would always want that funding component. It now means that if you're not going to give me funding, you have to give me something that is equal to that funding that you would not be giving me, mm-hmm. or maybe even more than it. Yeah. There's something else that just escaped my mind. Let me see.
So why you are looking for that? Why you are looking for that? I'm not against this move, but is the intention behind it that that kind of bothers me, because there are several accelerators
exactly
that some are not even like don't even call themselves accelerator, like their funds, like Google Black Founder Funds, for instance. They still give you access to not just funds. They give you access to credit, Google credit, advertising credit, and all you get. But you're promising these people storytelling. Yeah, how to polish their storytelling. You're promising them how to figure out their product, how to do business development, how to build a team, which are typical things I can learn from a webinar.
Yes.
You know, but I know that you are giving these people access to a network, but I think the money part is still very important. It's still very important.
Yeah, so that
or an equivalent, something like
it's important, but it leads me to something else. Storytelling. There's only one reason you're teaching storytelling.
To sell your idea so that you can get money.
That's the only reason, which means
I should be able to stand before your network that I have access to.
Prepping these guys. Foreign investors. That's what they're doing. And there's nothing wrong with it. But what it shows you is
we can't call it YC for Africa.
For Africa.
Maybe not. Maybe. I mean, yes, that YC for Africa, we have this tendency to bandy tags around. Last year, Bloomberg made a documentary and called him the Mark Zuckerberg for Africa. Let's not go into that, but maybe some of these terms that we bandy about. Yes, I get it. You're trying to make it like relatable so that people just know at immediately what you're trying to do. But sometimes you just bandy terms around. Early this year, I said, stop calling yourself leading when you're not leading anything. Like, what do you have meaning, man?
Focus.
Like, no,
focus.
I'm focusing. What's actually have meaning, right? If you say you're the leading fintech in Africa, right?
What do you want to call it?
If you say you're the leading fintech in Africa and we have 101 fintechs, you're not leading any of them. So who the hell are you leading, right? So let's be using words.
Because I told him to focus. He didn't.
Oh, let's be using words like knowing that they have meaning. So yes, YC for Africa, good dreams, but how it plays out is very important. YC has been around for roughly 15 years. Someone born in, no, not, sorry, not 20 years. YC has been around since 2005. That's a very long time. So it's helped them to build up to what they are today. It's good that founders have one more way for them to, get access to mentors that they may not
have
had
before.
But really, without funding.
But the comments you make about probably prepping them for foreign investors, I think it might be solving the issue of giving them access to more funds, but it's not solving the challenge of not getting local investors in local startups.
I mean, that's an entirely different conversation. First of all, you don't have local investors, let's be honest. It's an entirely different.
They are saying they want to become
the YC for Africa.
For Africa, which means that we are trying to bring together local investors.
No, that's not. No, that is not.
I know.
What YC for Africa is saying is bringing like the prestige, the network, the funding, the achievements that YC has. We want to replicate it.
Mm.
That's what I interpret as YC for Africa. So
when you say you got into Accelerate Africa, there's this prestige.
Exactly.
So usually
when people go through YC, they are able to raise at higher valuations. They are taken more seriously by investors and all of that. Well, a lot of it has slowed down in the last 1 or 2 years, but all the best to them, but really.
Yeah, possibility. Yeah.
Hopefully. Time will tell.
Yeah, time eventually. Time
let's
will tell.
Let's check back in 15 years.
God.
For real, you cannot build YC for Africa in 2 years now.
Sure, yes, sure. YC.
So let's check back in 15 years.
How old is YC?
19
Do the math.
Years.
Sorry, my math is poor. 19 years. So let's check back in 10 years.
Better.
Let's check back in 10 years. Some of their first investments were Airbnb.
No,
and
this 10 country. Because, you know, the growth rate with things that have to do with money in Africa don't really...
Okay.
Yeah, I should complete the thought.
No, don't worry. I'm just pointing it out.
No, like some of YC's first investments, exactly. Airbnb, Reddit... You said?
Are they making investments?
They're not. Okay, yeah. So some of their first investments.
You just say I'm an ex Accelerate Africa.
I mean, it's just a backing. We know what this is. It's ex Harvard, ex Google, ex Harvard, ex sorry, not ex Harvard because it can't be ex Harvard. Sorry, ex Google, Harvard trained, Stanford MBA. All those things help to get you in the door. So if you say, oh. Accelerate Africa. Hopefully, they've gotten to the point where you're like, oh, okay, if they accepted you, then yeah, it makes it easier.
Hopefully, okay. So let's quickly go into Access Bank, getting into the digital lending space, getting an approval in principle. They've not gotten the
approval in principle.
They've not gotten the license to go into digital lending, but yes, they're getting into it with Oxygen X, which is like a rebrand of QuickBooks, which was like their loan app. I actually have a history with QuickBooks.
Personal testimony.
Yeah, I have an history with QuickBooks. That was where I got my last device. That was in 2020 when it was still active. It was interesting because before the middle of 2020, it was no longer active. And I think it's for reasons like this, the same reason why they are just launching into that space. Now, Chingwazwi, do you want to give us a few more details into that launch?
Well, what do I add? Nothing really. So when you got yours with QuickBooks, it was restricted to like access and bank customers.
Mm-hmm.
The plan now is more people can access this.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not commencing operations yet, as we all know, until they get the final approval. I can't remember exactly how many months it takes, but for the most part, you get like within 6 months. I don't know of anybody who has announced approval in principle that did not receive it. I may be wrong, but typically they end up getting it. So it's just like a formality. But now more people beyond Access Bank customers will get it.
Yeah.
It's interesting coming from Access Bank. Access Bank has been on an acquisition spree in the last 6-7 months. So they are solidifying their plans to be one of Africa's, if not Africa's largest financial institution. So getting into fintech is like a good move for them.
Yeah.
So I just have, a few questions, a few thoughts on that. So, you know how hot fintech is?
Yeah.
We also know how difficult lending is.
Yes, I'm even surprised Nigeria. They decided to go into the lending space their counterparts actually just go into the fintech payments, yes, digital banking space, payments.
I mean, the problem with going into payments, so you can do digital banking, really, that one is kind of easier.
Yes.
You can easily just onboard your existing customers.
Yeah.
But for payments, it's always acceptance. They're kind of getting in late, so they might be restricted to the number of transactions they process. So maybe they may not do a Flutterwave level of processing yet. But digital lending makes a whole lot of sense if you ask me.
Although
and I am
Ada.
Yeah, although harder, of course, but it makes a whole lot of sense if you ask me. Why? We know how much of a need credit is. A thought that has been playing in my mind for the last 2 weeks is, how do you unlock credit at scale for Africa?
Trust.
And it's a, it's so far, a lot of that, of the progress in that space has been led by fintechs, right? Mm-hmm. But a major commercial bank getting in might be a good thing. Mm-hmm. The problem has always been, how do you ensure that you're not lending, like how do you ensure that the profile of people you're lending to can actually repay? And if they can't repay, how do you, like, what is your recovery mechanism? It's a, Access Bank is regulated. They will not spam you with calls. Mm-hmm. They won't threaten your father, right? And that's one problem. That's already something that they can't do, mm-hmm. to recover the loans. So they have to do everything within the ambit of the law. Yeah, everything has to be ethical. So that's the problem. How can they give out loans? Now they are saying it's no longer just Access Bank customers. If it was an Access Bank customer, you have access to his financial history.
Exactly. Yeah.
But now you're opening it up to everybody. So
I think they will have stricter checks and KYCs.
Yeah, I mean, ideally that's the case. But every other person has stricter. Carbon has very good KYC regulations. Doesn't mean that it's necessarily easier for them.
Yeah, there will be some issues. You know the thing with lending players in the lending app that are fintech, you mm-hmm. get the, is that they want to they want to make sure they are able to acquire a lot of customers within a short time. So most of the KYC are non-existent, right? They say get a loan in 5 minutes, that kind of thing. Access Bank might not be able to do that because
they
will try to check your credit.
Get a loan in 5 minutes. We could change the wording.
Wordiness, yeah.
Yeah. We could change the wording. Yes, you can still get a loan in 5 minutes with Access Bank. So I'm not holding brief for Access Bank, right? But you can get your loan in 5 minutes. The 5 minutes is from the point you apply to the point the loan is disbursed,
mm-hmm.
not from the point you create an account, because God help you, you use a network that shall not be named. You will not get your loan in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but so, at least they will do their...
Yes. So
they can
the
just give you loan. So what makes loan retriever harder is because you accountability, you've kind of removed the accountability from the customer and put it upon yourself, right? At the point of you giving them that loan.
I don't get it. Sorry, right? Explain that.
So you are trying to say, you don't have to worry, I'll just give you the money and then you pay me back.
So banks, apart from
I'm an Access Bank customer, you mm-hmm. get, they have like a feature in their app, Access More, where mm-hmm. you can assess loan. Right. Even as a customer, if I want to assess loan there, they still have to check my eligibility. And this is something that lending platforms usually do not pay much attention to.
It depends on the lending platform you're talking about. I group them in two. Mm-hmm. That the serious people know that they need to make money.
Mm-hmm.
That the ones that are just faffing around, they just want users for whatever reason. And hopefully they just hope that they can milk out as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
But for, I'm using Carbon. They will have to pay me at some point because of the promo I'm doing. I've been using Carbon for maybe 4, 5, 6 years. I don't know how long, but I've been using Carbon for a very long time, right? First time I got a loan from Carbon, I did not get a millionaire. In fact, I could not get a millionaire. Mm-hmm. And that was something a lot of digital lenders were doing. Yes, I don't have your financial history,
mm-hmm.
but I get access to certain information that kind of predicts to some degree whether you can repay. So I'm getting access to your contacts. I'm getting access to your when you give them access to your messages, for example, they can scan through to see, okay, there's inflow and outflow of money in this account, mm-hmm. that is kind of regular. And then you submit the bank statement,
mm-hmm.
for the ones that are serious. You submit a bank statement. Exactly. That bank statement shows them your inflow and outflow.
Yeah.
So now they can predict to a certain level that, okay, this guy gets 10,000 naira every month.
Mm-hmm.
So we can lend him 3,000 naira or maybe 5,000 naira. Mm-hmm. Knowing fully well that if we give him a 2-month repayment period, he can repay us in 2 months, mm-hmm. comfortably.
Yeah.
The problem we've now seen is that some people, you come to them, they give you 100,000 naira, when the highest money that's entered into your account in your entire life is 5,000 naira.
Yeah.
You just cannot repay in 2 months.
I think we are saying the same thing. Like, Access Bank going into this space have a lot of structure in place already. This is not their first. This is like they are just doing a standalone for a loan. They've always been in the lending space. You get it's part of financial services, so they have a lot of structure in place, and the chances of them making the same mistakes some of these lending platforms make, having those loopholes, are lower.
Yes, I mean, the other problem now is always adoption and skill. That's the other question you would have. Adoption and skill. So if
they ride on their current customer base, I think it's a good place to start.
That's a good place to start, Sha. But I don't know. It's probably not as easy as
the traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would have to. Yes. Now they have like an existing customer base that they can always tell, oh, you guys can now borrow using this platform, right?
Yeah.
But they are not. If that's what they wanted to do. If they wanted to just leverage on those guys, they don't need to launch a standalone app and then make it open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What they are now doing is, we want all of you, regardless of the bank you're using, to use us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people think that the best thing for them to do is sort of partner with fintechs instead of just going it alone.
Mm.
Some people think they should partner with fintechs. That is probably something that would work for them because... So, for example, we will talk about Kuda, but Kuda has gotten 7 million customers in less than 5 or 6 years, which is impressive because think about how much it took likes of Access Bank, First Bank, UBA
to get
that number. So, they've done user acquisition has always been very fast.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about whether it's profitable or not, but
yeah.
User acquisition has always been very quick. So, they typically have more reach. The fact that you can also deliver these services through a smartphone makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
One problem has always been with the technology of established financial institutions.
Mm-hmm.
That technology is always a problem. I will not name the bank that I use, but man, sometimes it's a big problem using their... It's almost like they employ a different set of engineers from what fintechs use.
Yes.
Which is surprising because it's the same country you're hiring from.
Yeah.
But almost all of them seem to not...
And be together.
That digital banking aspect
looks
like they struggle. So maybe that's somewhere they could partner. Well, I mean, there's a whole lot we could discuss about this, really. Fortunately, they're giving me, waving the flag for me to stop.
What
do you want to say?
I was just going to talk about how it is interesting that a lot of banks are now
building fintech products.
Makes me think that in a few years to come, I think the people that will be making the most money in the financial services space will be people that provide infrastructures. You guys were talking about how they will need your bank statements, things like that.
But the likes of Mono, Lend Square, for instance, lending space.
So we might now start seeing platforms that will make that thing easier for them, where that platform now has like a machine learning program where in a few minutes it can look through a person's financial history across all their bank accounts and then give you an estimate that if you borrow this person this so amount of money, this person can return based on all the calculations we've done, this person can return it at this amount of time. So I really think we are seeing the money points.
So for instance, now the line is blurring between traditional and the fintech. It is blurring.
Not totally.
Okay. Maybe I'm speaking for my bubble, but yes, it is.
Banks will still be what banks are, and they'll still be playing a very, very major role in many years to come.
Yes.
But my own is just that the biggest players, right? The people are not really seeing.
Infrastructure. Right?
Those people will be making bank in some years to come.
Yeah. Maybe I kind of disagree, Sha.
Maybe it's
whether you agree or disagree, time will tell. We spend a lot of time in this studio today, and I wish we don't have to stop, but we'll have to round it up here. But there are other interesting stories in the neobank space of South African Time Bank saying they are making profit for the first time in 5 years. Quite contentious.
Is it contentious? They told me they made profit.
I should believe that they make profit.
Yes, if it's 5 naira profit, it's profit.
Please
tell us how much you made in profit. We would like to know so that I don't know if I should launch the neobank I plan on launching.
Exactly.
Or not.
So we need the details. And also, TechCrunch reported that Kuda Bank didn't reach its user acquisition milestone for 2023. And those are some of the news we would have loved to talk about on this podcast today, but for time. Also, Patricia in the news again. You'll find that on our website on their updates of paying back their customers. And then... yes, and many more stories that are very hard to keep up with on the TechPoint Africa website. You can go to techpoint.africa to keep yourself up to date with everything happening in the African tech space. You can also subscribe to our daily newsletter, week daily newsletter, TechPoint Digest, which gives you a breakdown. If you can't scroll through everything on the website, you can just subscribe to that newsletter and that gives you a daily breakdown of what happened the previous day in the African tech space. We also have other newsletters running in TechPoint. We have Modern Workplace newsletter published by yours truly, Oluwanifemi, where we talk about different things that are related to work. It's looking like an obsession this day, but we've been talking with people with credibility in the space, discussing and dissecting some of the challenges that people management or people managers face. And I would love you to subscribe to that newsletter if you're managing people, if you're an employer, a manager, or an HR professional. Also, we have Equity Merchant that focused on startups and investment. We also have launching very soon a newsletter for Imagine Tech. It will be exciting. Okay, watch out for it and subscribe for the ones that you currently run. I will not forget to mention that earlier in the week, Intel Point launched the Nigerian Insurance Industry Report and is filled with, can I use this word? Crazy insights you get, not just for the insurance companies. We're talking about the fintechs, we're talking about the people that are getting insured, we're talking about people working for insurance company. It has a lot of insights and you would want to check it out. So just go to intelpoint.co and download the report. You can also find other industry reports summarized and other stats on that website. Thank you for joining us once again today. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure telling you what goes on in the African tech space. And something interesting is happening tomorrow, Friday, 19th of January. And it's the first edition of Pitch Friday in 2024. Of course, it's a good time to talk about finance because it's the beginning of the year. While people are making new resolutions, people that run businesses are trying to look for ways where they can stay afloat during the year and also sustain their businesses. So we'll be bringing an expert in at the Pitch Friday to talk about how companies can manage money, because a lot of companies are shutting down. Those that are not shutting down are in acquisition talks because they couldn't raise money. How did they use the money they raised? How did they use the money they are making? Okay. So these are the things that these experts will come and teach early stage founders at Pitch Friday. Don't miss it. It's holding at Zone Tech Park in Gbagada, Lagos. So make it a date and be there. If you see me, you do what? Hola. Thank you to our audio listeners for always listening to the TechPoint Africa podcast. We are looking forward to your comments. Please send us a comment, nice words, beef, or whatever it is, feedback that you want to give to us to podcast@techpoint.africa. You can also share the podcast with other podcast lovers that you know wants to listen to what we are talking about. And if you're listening to this from any other platform, you can get us on which platforms?
Yes, for our you can listeners. Always find us on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else you get a podcast.
Thank you for joining us once again. Bye.
Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.